doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. 7:06. I'm Stacy Ann. So glad to have you tuning in this morning, my friends. The studio line is 503-589-1220. Today's weather, when we look at the weather, we're going to have mostly cloudy sky today, and we're going to see temperatures about 52, overnight low 37 degrees, with rain expected over the next few days. Some good news coming right out of Salem here in KSLM. The owners of KSLM have put together with Pro Bioscience CBD-based hand sanitizer. They're manufacturing it right here in Salem. It's natural. It's super strength to combat the coronavirus. And what I love about this product is it also helps moisturize your hands. So not only do you stay protected with the sanitizer, but it also keeps your hands moisturized during this time when we're trying to keep so clean and stay sanitized, right? You can give them a call and order yours today, 503-877-9877, or go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. One thing I discovered as I've been going around town trying to find out resources for our community, something you may or may not know, if you have a family that want to go to the grocery stores early because they're seniors or maybe compromised health, several area stores are open early, and you may want to call before you go to your favorite store. But I know on Thursdays, Fred Meyer opens at 7 to help seniors and those with health compromised situations to shop. Safeway Tuesdays and Thursdays, Target Tuesdays and Thursdays, all at 7 a.m. I believe Costco Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 to 9, and Life Source from 8 to 9 as well. Some updates in Salem regarding testing. There are lack of supplies, and so they're looking for people to make masks and donate gear to help continue to do the local testing in the area. And as of this week, they have been increasing the amount of tests, and so there's such a need right now. In fact, they're asking for 10,000 masks and almost begging that people who have the ability to sew make these masks from home. They need surgical fabric, and they are providing almost kits that you, if you have the ability to sew and you want to get involved, you can do so. And so Salem Health is asking for volunteers to sew masks for their frontline workers. And I think that's a great opportunity to do something. Volunteers can go to Salem Health, and I guess there's locations in Salem and in Dallas, and you can go to salemhealth.org/mask to find out more information. Currently, as of yesterday, of course, they update all of the statistics first thing in the morning, about 7:38 in the morning, so we don't have them quite yet, but the death toll here in Oregon, we're 10th in the country, according to the Oregon Health Authority. 57 new cases were announced yesterday and 11 new cases in Marion County. No new cases in Polk County. Women had underlying medical conditions and passed away on Sunday here in Marion County, and a 80-year-old woman in Clackamas County died on Tuesday. So the other thing that's important to know that has happened, and you may or may not have seen this in the headlines, a Chariot's bus operator tested positive for the virus, according to a Chariot staff memo sent out on Tuesday. The driver had worked on March 13th. He operated bus 1954 from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. and bus 113 from 1:30 to 5 p.m. The Chariots have said the manager, Alan Pollock, he said, "Our sanitizing protocols have increased in intensity as we seek to minimize risk of exposure. All work areas have been sanitized multiple times since March 13th. those are area headlines. One thing I do think that is kind of good to know, there's so much we can't do. We're encouraged to stay home, stay safe, stay healthy. But people have wanted to get outdoors, right? People have wanted to go walking and hiking, and we're still allowed to do that, although a lot of our parks are closed. A lot of the restrooms at the parks are closed. Yesterday, walking through the neighborhood of Bush Park, getting some exercise, they had signs all along Bush Park to please keep your distance. It wasn't closed, but they said keep your social distance of about 6 feet. So they're reminding people. But one of the things I stumbled upon even this morning is fishing and hunting is still allowed right now. And so if you enjoy those things, that's something that you can do. And I think that's good to know. So we're hanging together. I appreciate you standing strong in faith and knowing that we're going to get through this. And I have a saying that we're going to get go over, around, under, or through. We're going to stick together. We are better together working through this. And so, again, if you have information on what's going on in your organization, your community, things that you're doing to make our community, Marion County, Salem, Oregon, a better place, we'd love to partner with you in promoting that. Today, I am really excited to get to know our guest today. Her name is Destiny Schuster, and she is here. She's from our local area. She's born and raised on her family's farm just north of Kaiser. She now lives with her husband of 20 years and their two teenage children. Destiny founded Patient Support Services USA after a 10-year career with the Social Security Administration, working in various field offices in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, as well as the regional and area director's offices in Seattle. She excels at putting the needs of the disabled individual in her family and their family first. She explains the various programs administered by the Social Security Administration in terms that are easy to understand, and helps connecting her clients and making them feel comfortable going through this process, which can be extremely overwhelming. The Social Security Disability and Supplemental Security Income application process can be grueling, and she specializes in getting involved early on in helping them through this application process and get the benefits sooner than if they would have tried to do it on their own, for sure. She is also a licensed Medicare insurance broker. She is bilingual in English and Spanish and enjoys helping people from diverse backgrounds, education levels, and work experiences. Thank you, Destiny, for joining us today on Good Morning Salem. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Stacy.
Awesome. Well, it's always a fun opportunity for me to not only share with people that are coming in the studio, but the listeners, that the fact that I've been gone for all these years and I've come back here to Salem, and it's amazing to meet you. I've had an opportunity to meet you a couple times already in the last few weeks. And what I appreciate about what you're doing, having a background in social service myself and working in nonprofit and being an advocate for folks, there is a real need to come alongside someone walking through a lot of changes, rapid changes. And when you're getting a diagnosis from a doctor that, look, this is a condition you're going to have to just adapt to and deal with for the rest of your life, that can be extremely overwhelming. And usually, and a lot of us are experiencing this right now because there's been sudden change in our personal family economy with the virus going on right now. A lot of people are looking, okay, how are we going to make this work income-wise? But when someone's been diagnosed with an illness or a disease that they cannot work any longer, that can be extremely overwhelming. Explain to me what are some of the things that they face when that happens?
Well, I was just thinking about what you said earlier about being better together, and that really resonates with me because I feel like at Patient Support Services, we're better together. We, we're there to partner along and compassionately assist individuals with severe and long-lasting impairments in obtaining their disability benefits. So back to your question of what do they face? They face a lot of things. First off, what do I do? Where do I go next? They need to contact the Social Security Administration to schedule an appointment, or maybe go online, or maybe get a hold of an advocate to help them through that. And then how long is it going to take? What are the steps in the process? And so what I do is I come along beside people and I educate them on this is the process. And whenever I talk to anybody, I always give them the option of contacting the Social Security Administration directly without my assistance. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is that some people are able to go through the whole process without needing an advocate. But there are a lot of people out there that really want to have that advocacy to know that if they call this number, that I'm going to pick up the phone, I'm going to help them, and they're going to be talking directly with me. I do have an assistant that does work for me on occasion, but he's not answering my phones. It's just it's on special case-by-case business. Mm-hmm. Case-by-case cases.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Yes. And so someone gets a diagnosis and they're saying, well, you need to look at filing for disability. Mm-hmm. Now, is it true? I've heard, and maybe it's a rumor, maybe it's not mm-hmm. true, and you can clear it up right now. We have a chance to clear the confusion that it's just a general, you just know you've got to apply 2 or 3 times before they'll approve you.
Yeah, that's a misnomer. Mm-hmm. I know it feels like it, but a lot of times I have seen a lot of people get approved right at their initial claim. It all depends on the medical records. So often people will apply immediately after being diagnosed because that's what the doctors recommend. The doctors, mm-hmm. the doctors know that this is going to last you 12 months or longer, and the doctors are saying, you know, you should just go and apply. But the medical records may not have been developed enough to really show that, yes, this is really going to last 12 months or longer. And so I think that's why people get denied the first time.
Okay, well, we're here with Destiny Schuster. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. We're having a great discussion about Social Security and disability benefits, how to apply. We'll get back to it after this break.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Salem. Together on this March 26th. A wonderful Thursday. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. Studio line is 503-589-1220. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you today. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And we are in discussion with Destiny Schuster. And Destiny, we've been talking about how folks can file for disability or Social Security. And, you know, I remember even 10 years ago or so as a younger woman working, I would get these little postcards in the mail that say, you know, if you keep working at the pace you're working, you know, upon retirement, this is what you will get. Or if you're, disabled or something was to happen or whatever. They don't necessarily send those out anymore, but I think there's a way you can go and find that information by going somewhere. Where would they go?
You would go to www.ssa.gov, which stands for Social Security Administration.government.
Okay.
And you would go online and create an account.
Mm-hmm.
And in that account, you can go in and look at what your estimate is. As you get closer to your retirement age, they will start mailing those out again. But until you reach that age, you have to go online to access it. And they have a lot of fantastic calculators online where you can estimate what your disability benefit will be at a certain time or what your retirement benefit will be. You can plug in what you expect to make for future years. And it's a very handy tool. I recommend everybody go online and create an account.
Well, I think the general public, I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that there's a funding as workers. We are putting, there's a part of our we don't get to take all the money home that we're making because some of it goes to taxes, but a lot of it goes into as well this kitty, right? That mm-hmm. this is where they're funding Social Security and disability benefits. Now, I have heard parents they have children that have special needs and special issues where they're considered disabled and they need support services and they need medical benefits. Have you helped families? Because that can be very grueling and it's very emotionally draining. I know people who they're trying to figure out what's going on with their child. They don't get a diagnosis until teenage years. Now we're talking about, okay, what's going to transition? Are they going to be able to work? You know, they're in school and they're getting support through the school system, but they don't know what to do. And they're providing well for the child, but they're thinking of the child's future. What would you say to a parent in that similar situation? When should they start this process of getting support through disability and Social Security or however that works?
Right. So if the family is providing well for the child, then I'm assuming they're making enough money that the child would not qualify for the needs-based program mm-hmm. of supplemental security income. They won't qualify for that because the family's household income is too high. Once that child turns 18, they should file an application on the child's behalf if the child's able to do it themselves. They should file for the supplemental security income program because once they turn 18, the income and resources of the parents no longer count.
Okay. So that's good to know. And I know my daughter is a case manager. I don't even know if that's what they call them anymore, but she works in a development center where they're working with adult individuals who have special help, but they can also work. They have wonderful work training, but many of them are on disability. And is there an income cap of what you can make when you're on getting assistance or any of those things? I don't know much about that.
Yes. So you can work and earn up to $1,260 a month and still be considered disabled. If you earn more than $1,260 a month, they say that you're working at a substantial level and therefore you're no longer disabled. There are always exceptions. It is a government program after mm-hmm. all, so there's always exceptions.
Right.
So you could make more than $1,260 a month if you have a lot of out-of-pocket medical costs that you have to pay for, like prescription drugs or maybe assistive devices that they'll take off of the gross income to look at what you're actually grossing after those expenses.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. Tell me a story of someone who you lined up with that they had a great response. It was like almost shocking that they had no idea. Maybe they were discouraged when they found you. Tell me something that's happened.
Tell you something good.
Good.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to call this person Laura because I don't want to give her real name. It was this summer. I met Laura through a connection of someone else that I had. This Laura was a sister to somebody else that I had connected. And I went over to their house and sat on the front porch and talked to her about her disability. She had some great notes, by the way. She had letters that she had received from Social Security 4.5 years ago when they denied her case.
Wow.
Yeah. And I looked at her case and she shared with me that she didn't understand why she was denied 4.5 years ago because they didn't even get the medical records from her primary care provider. And she was so discouraged by getting that denial notice that she didn't appeal and she just dropped it and walked away. And I told her, I said, well, you know, since we're within 5 years of you getting this denial notice, we can ask them to reopen it because they didn't get those medical records. And so we were successful at reopening her claim. She got denied at the initial claim again, and I appealed it for her. And when they denied it, the Social Security Administration has the Blue Book, which is the medical listings where they look at does your disability fit one of the medical listings? And her condition didn't have a medical listing. And so it didn't fit one of their boxes. So she got denied. And I looked at why she was denied. And I wrote back in the appeal and said, her case, you need to look at all neurological disorders, not just they were looking at back and spine problems. And I said, no, you need to be looking at all neurological disorders. Her condition, although not specifically listed, the symptoms fit with other neurological disorders. We got her case approved, and so she's going to get over 5 years of back pay because we were able to reopen that case. That doesn't happen very often, but man, when it does, it sure does feel good.
That's pretty amazing, actually, when you think about how that could be life-changing for an individual who thinks they're at a dead end or a dead stop and there's no hope, and yet that's significant, and now she'll be able to, you know, right. do the things that she needs to do. That's awesome. Destiny Schuster here, Patient Support Services. So excited to get to know about this. This is an area I really don't know, even though I have a social service background. We will be back after this break. We're going to talk a little bit more about the specifics of how to file a claim and what the timing usually is to get a response. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. Good morning, Salem.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning, Salem. It is a good morning. Thursday, March 26th. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann, and encouraging you to check out our website, kslm.news. We have a wonderful resource link right there, thanks to Northwest Natural. We are teaming together to bring a community resource list of anything that you can use, including if you've just got the notice that you're going to be laid off and your employer said file for unemployment, there's resources there from the Oregon.gov and all kinds of things. If you're also interested in wanting to know how you can roll up your sleeves and help, United Way is looking for some help. And so go to, as well as the Red Cross is needing blood donations. So go to our resource link. It's right there at the top at kslm.news. Bringing resources and interviews and encouraging you and engaging and really wanting you to get engaged in our community. That's my heart for this show. And we've brought to you today this beautiful individual by the name of Destiny Schuster, and she helps folks that have just been told themselves that, hey, you have a disability and you're not going to be able to work anymore, and there's resources out there. And Destiny, your background allows you to team up with individuals in these situations and really advocate for them, help them through the process, the paperwork. Just you and I know, friends, listeners, when we are trying to even do our taxes, even though we do it online or whatever, it can be very, very difficult and frustrating, and you just want to, you know, throw in the towel and say, it's not even worth it, I'll figure it out. But with Destiny alongside you, you have an opportunity to get through the hoops, right?
Yes.
And so so someone has just been told they have this disability, and they need to get with you. And my first question is, you're spending all this time on this case. How are you reimbursed? How do you get paid? Do the clients pay you for your services? How does that work?
So my fee is set by the Social Security Administration, and the fee is set at 25% of a person's past due benefits up to a maximum of $6,000. And so it's a one-time fee that I only get if I win your case. And it comes directly from the Social Security Administration out of the client's past due benefits. Now, if you remember earlier, I was talking about Laura, who I got her, you know, over five years of past due benefits. Well, the average Social Security disability payment is $1,258 a month. Mm-hmm. So you can do the math and think, look at how much she's going to receive. Mm-hmm. And I fully expect her to receive more than $50,000. And out of that, I will get $6,000.
Okay.
And then she gets to keep 100% of it going forward. So
Fantastic.
It's a real win-win, which is part of why I love my job.
Well, and the neat thing is you have experience actually working inside these organizations.
Yes.
So you know, you have that insight, that wisdom, and that knowledge. You know how to make it happen, and you know how to encourage them along the way. And what kinds of things, what are you seeing? I mean, is it just, I think of the worker who fell down at work and has hurt their back, you know, or they can't lift and they can't do that job anymore. What gets awarded for disability? What are you seeing?
So in order to qualify for Social Security disability benefits or supplemental security income, which is also a disability program, a person's impairment has to prevent them from working at any job. So if you had a heavy lifting job before and you hurt your back and you can no longer lift, but you have the skills, the knowledge, the ability to be able to do a desk job, it's unlikely that you would qualify because you have to be unable to do any job in the national economy. That's the other thing. Just because, especially in some small towns, people are like, well, there's nothing for me to do. There's no jobs in this community. Well, unfortunately, Social Security doesn't look at your unique situation. They look at the nation as a whole because it is a federal government program.
Okay, so there's some general overlying guidelines that people have to qualify for. When they start the process, what is usually the timing? How long does it take to get some kind of a reply initially, and then where do you go from there?
Generally, it takes about 7 months to get your initial decision from the time of application until the time that they decide if you're going to be approved or denied. And then if you get denied, you're given 60 days to file an appeal. And if you appeal it, you're looking at another 7 months. I mean, keep in mind, some cases get cleared up a lot faster and some do take longer, unfortunately. If your case gets denied at the reconsideration level, which is the second level, if it gets denied at the second level, you can appeal again to take your case before an administrative law judge. And that generally takes 15 months from the time that you file your appeal to the time that you get to be seen before a judge. So you're talking 7 months plus 7 months plus 15 months, potentially.
But the good news is, from what you had shared earlier in the story, is that it will backdate. Will it go back potentially?
Yes. So back due benefits, you can get benefits up to 12 months prior to the date that you file. So some people don't want to file for disability because, you know, they think they're going to get better. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people like that. They're, you know, I'm just going to pull up my bootstraps and I'm going to pull through this. And so it's nice that Social Security offers somebody 12 months of back pay from the date that they were filing. That doesn't necessarily mean that their disability has to occur within the last 12 months. There are people who file like 5 years after their disability began, and Social Security will look at those medical records from 5 years ago, but the most that they can pay in past due benefits is 12 months prior to the date that you filed.
One of the things that I'm understanding from you or hearing from you is that it's very important that you keep track of your medical records.
Yes.
That you, in a lot of these medical clinics, have where you can access your information online anymore, or portals that you can access. What kinds of hints and tips can you tell people, just healthy individuals right now, just to manage their own health care? And of course, what we're dealing with right now with a virus, I think it's extremely important to stay healthy and do whatever we can do to remain healthy during this time, but also own our own medical records. What would you recommend?
Well, I recommend that people keep on top of their going to their regular medical appointments. And if their primary care provider refers them to a specialist, don't refuse it. You use that referral. Go to the specialist. I've had people that have had physical disabilities, and the provider, their primary care provider said, you know, I really think you need to see a psychiatrist. And they're like, no, I don't need to see a psychiatrist. Well, you want to be cooperative, because if you're uncooperative, that doesn't bode well for you. And the judge might question how serious is your condition if you're refusing additional treatment that your primary care provider is suggesting that you go to.
Well, that's a good word. So if you do get the referrals, follow up and do the work of that as well. Mm-hmm. So tell me some of the ailments that people, give me some for instances that people are filing for help and benefits.
I have a traumatic brain injury case right now that I'm working. Actually, I have a couple of those. Recovery from strokes. Mm-hmm. People who, sometimes you can recover from your stroke fairly quickly, and sometimes it takes maybe a couple of years to regain, and some people don't regain. So I've got some strokes, heart attacks, traumatic brain injury, some back issues, and mental health issues. I have quite a few mental health issues that I'm working on right now.
And folks that have had a bout with long-term, like dealing with cancer issues, is that something too?
Absolutely.
How about fibromyalgia?
Yes, I've won some fibromyalgia cases. Again, it's a matter of having the right medical records. Mm-hmm. Fibromyalgia can be a little bit more difficult to win just because the nature of the disability, but it is doable. And so fibromyalgia is a big one. And I forgot, I was going to say something else and I forgot.
Oh, that's okay. It'll probably come to you. I know someone who personally in our lives back home who had struggled and had applied and applied and applied. And she got an advocate mm-hmm. and walked her through. And I believe it was an attorney who mm-hmm. walked her through. And I remember the joy on her face because she suffers with a lot of back and neck mm-hmm. and has had surgeries and she gets migraines and it just will lay her out for days. And finally she got enough grit really to stand up and get some help and go back after it. And it does bring that peace of mind. Do you get in contact with folks that you've helped along the way? Do you stay in contact with them? What are they telling you about how this has changed their life, getting the resources that they need?
Yeah. I do stay in contact with a lot of my clients. And part of that is because after I help them get disability benefits, I help them with their Medicare options. Mm. And so then I get to follow up with them once a year or more if they need me. But if they don't need me, I try to reach out to them once a year just to check on their Medicare and how things are going. Social Security also does continuing disability reviews. So after you get on disability benefits, they'll review your case every 1, 3, or 7 years, depending on the nature of your disability. And so I always, with my clients that I already have, I walk them through that whole process too. But yeah, it's life-changing. I had one lady in Washington State that I helped her. Her only income was her retirement, and she was getting $1,500 of retirement, but she was only 63 or 64 years old. Mm-hmm. So we converted her from retirement to disability, and she increased her benefit amount up to $1,700 a month, which
wow.
for someone who's only living off $1,500 to get an extra $200 a month, that's huge.
Do you often see, I know people in the military, and I've got lots of friends who've retired or semi-retired, or if there's a disability in the military, are they allowed also to apply for this kind of support disability?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. They should apply for Social Security disability if they're on like VA disability. However, keep in mind that the VA disability rules are completely different from Social Security disability. And so I've had people say, you know, they'll be 100% disabled for the VA, but Social Security won't approve their case. It's just because it's very, very different. So don't assume because you get VA benefits that you'll be able to get Social Security, but you should still apply because you might.
It's worth it. We'll mm-hmm. be back with Destiny Schuster after this break talking about benefits and how she can help you walk through that maze from start to finish. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Together on this Thursday, March 26th. I'm Stacey Ann, listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Check us out on our website, kslm.news. We have all kinds of resources there. Thanks to Northwest Natural, we have a wonderful community resource list of things that you might need in this time frame of our lives that we're walking through, walking with not in fear, but in a spirit of faith, knowing that we will get through this and we are better together. And I want to encourage you, my friend, if you might have been hearing in the national news that they're working on a stimulus package. They're working on a way to get funds to us that are facing changes in our homes due to unemployment and lack of work, and all of those businesses and small businesses that are not able to serve food and do work is normal, right? And so they are working on the stimulus package. And I read in the headlines this morning, and it kind of ties into what we're talking about this morning, Destiny, is that it's important that we really take charge of our information. And one of the things that if and when the stimulus package gets approved to get into the hands of individuals throughout our area, you want to make sure that wherever, however you've applied for or did your taxes last year, if you've moved, if your address has changed, there's a way you can go to the IRS.gov website and get your current address in there and the information. If you've filed your taxes online and you did like a direct deposit, if you got a refund, they may still have the bank account. You want to make sure all of that information is up to date. And that kind of ties in with our special guest today. Destiny Schuster is here. She helps people in the area of Social Security, disability, and getting your filing for Supplemental Security Income. And she also is a Medicare insurance broker, and I'm not quite sure what that means. Destiny, can you enlighten me on what that means?
I'd be glad to. So I'm a Medicare insurance broker in that I am licensed to sell Medicare insurance, and I don't work for any single company. So I'm a broker. So I work with big names like United Healthcare, Regions, Aetna, Humana, HealthNet, and so on. And so what I do is I look at each individual's unique situation, and then I present them with a couple of options after I looked at, you know, what might be a good fit for that person. I don't sell to meet quotas. I don't sell because this is the company I work for. I hate even saying that I sell. I educate, and I give people their options, and I explain, this is Medicare, these are your risks under Medicare, and you have the option of purchasing a Medicare Advantage plan or a Medicare supplement plan to minimize your risks, and here are the ones that would fit your needs, potentially, and then I let them choose.
Well, and there's some confusion, I think, for individuals like myself, 50 and younger. There's a little bit of confusion between Medicare and Medicaid. Can you help us know the difference?
Yes. So Medicaid is the state program that helps people with limited income and limited resources with their health insurance. Mm-hmm. So Medicaid is run by the state, whereas Medicare is our federal health insurance program for those older than 65 and older, and for those under 65 but who have been receiving Social Security disability benefits for 24 months. The other thing is, if you're eligible for SSI, which is the disability program that's needs-based, you automatically qualify for the state's Medicaid program. You still have to apply for it, but when you apply, you just tell the state that you're on SSI, and they have a system where they can check that, and then you'll automatically get your Medicaid benefits.
Okay, so that brings some clarity to that, and people who are going through the process, we talked a little bit about the timeline in the first segment or second segment, and it might take 7 months from the start to the finish. So they get determination that they get the letter, you're approved, you know, this is what your benefit is. Then how soon will they receive those benefits usually?
Usually within about 60 days of being told that they've been approved, they'll receive their cash benefits, but they still have to receive 24 months worth of cash benefits to start their Medicare.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. So our listeners are, and myself, we're getting up to speed on how all this works. If someone had a family member, and I can think of a few people even maybe in my family who would benefit from this, if you have a family member who would like to apply and reach out to you, how do they get a hold of you, Destiny?
My phone number is 503-383-7724. And my cell phone is 206-849-6334. Just give me a call, or you can contact me through Facebook, Patient Support Services, or my website. There's a contact us that will send me an email through the website, which is patientsupportservicesusa.com.
Okay, and we'll have that information. We'll put a link up on Facebook as well. And I think, my friends, if it's something that you may know somebody who needs these resources and this information as well. Destiny, I think it's amazing how you're right here in the community. Do you have an office they go to, or do you go to their home? How does that work?
I do both. I prefer to use my office. So my office is located in the Salem-Keizer's Volcano Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have a beautiful office up there.
Do you like baseball?
I do. And however, with the COVID-19 going on, the Volcano Stadium is closed. And so I decided to close my office and move it back to my home, which when I started this business 7 years ago, I started it out of my home. Mm-hmm. So I already have a nice home set up. Pretty much everything that has to do with Social Security can be done over the phone. And even Medicare can be done over the phone. But it is nice to meet with people face-to-face. And so I do have an office where we can meet face-to-face. But right now, let's stay home and stay healthy. Just let's do everything over the phone and via Postal Service mail.
So if someone is thinking about contacting you, what would you say to them to have them make that phone call today? What would you say? Like, I call you on the phone and I say, this is my situation, but I don't know if I qualify or not. How would you get me to make that next step?
Oh, well, I would just ask you a lot of questions and then tell you this is the parameters of Social Security. And I'll be honest with you and say, you know, I think that we should work together. Or I'll say, you know, this doesn't sound like a case that I would want to be taking right now. But here's the resources to go and try on your own.
Oh, okay. So you could lead them or give them resources, mm-hmm. and say, and at that point, if you think we can go to the next step, get back in touch with me, that kind of thing.
Well, if we're going to take it to the next step, I would mail you some contract forms to get started.
Okay.
And then I try to break everything out into bite-sized pieces for people.
Sure.
So I don't send you the contract and do the application. I don't want to overwhelm people because Social Security can be a very overwhelming process.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to just break it into chunks and assure people that I'm going to be with you every step of the way. If I send you anything that you have any questions on at all, don't hesitate to call. And I love it. I love that people ask questions rather than allowing themselves to get frustrated.
Oh, that's a great way to end our note today. Again, give your phone number or how they can contact you, Destiny.
503-383-7724.
Patient Support Services right here in our own community, helping families. I love it. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. You have a fantastic day, my friends. Don't forget the community resource list on our website, kslm.news. Have a wonderful Thursday, and remember, together we are overcomers.